I did it again. I left my sermon downstairs. It's all right. It's all right. I got it. Okay, I'm going to do it up in here so you can hear me better. So, Wednesday, after school, with the little Lutherans and J-Team, and we were doing a really fun thing where we combined all the age groups, except for the little-littles, but we combined the rest of the age groups to do some skits. And the topic was the miracles of Jesus. And so what we did was we split up into our classes and we read the stories together and did some talking, and I do a little bit something different with the sixth graders to kind of prepare them more for confirmation kind of discussion, and the others did their own age range. And then we got back together and put them in groups that combined different ages, different grades. And then we had each one of them assigned a miracle of Jesus. And they were supposed to act it out. They could use their own words. However they wanted to do it was fine. But they were going to act it out, and then the rest of us guessed which one it was. What stood out to me, besides the fact that they all did a great job, what stood out to me was the fact that so many of those miracles took place on or near or around or right after being in a boat. So the kids got the chairs, you know, they got them all lined up and like they were going to be in a boat with rows of seats, or they went this way and they were in a boat that way and someone's lying down there. And so they got themselves all figured out. And we had Jesus walking on water. That was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. Honestly, he walks up to the boat and goes, "Sup, guys." Honestly, it was great. It was great. Did I tell you they did a great job? I mean, he's looking completely unconcerned. "Sup, guys." We had Jesus sleeping in the back of a boat, and he's, you know, like this. We had people fishing from the boat. We had people being afraid in a boat. We had people getting in and out of boats. And in the group I was working with, the feeding of the 5,000, lo and behold, the thing that they grasped onto was the fact that they came to that place by boat. And so they were really attracted to that boat part, and they're rowing like crazy to get there, and then they get out of the boat. Well, what do we do with the boats when we get to land? We have to tie them up, right? We have to tie them somehow to the shore, or they're just going to go floating off on their own, and they become useless to us. Now, today's story about the Gerasene demoniac, the man who was possessed by so many demons, they called themselves Legion. A legion is a Roman cohort of about 6,000 soldiers. That's a lot of demons. But this particular episode is bookended, as I saw in one commentary, it's bookended by Jesus arriving in a boat, and then he leaves in a boat. And in the meantime, in the very center of those two very simple actions, but actions which really caught the imagination of our students, in the center of that, is this amazing healing, this releasing of a tether, of a tie. Now, on the front cover of the bulletin, I had a picture of a man bound in chains. This man is tethered. The man in the story is tethered. He is tied. He is chained to demons. Now, what we would probably be able to say, this is the definition of what he had. This is the definition of this. This is the definition of that. At the time, it was demons. And they are still demons for us. Because they are very hard to get rid of. But our demons are a little different. They are despair. They are hope. Hopelessness, I should say. They are self-interest at the expense of others. They are unkindness. They are addictions to various things. Those are the things which keep us bound and unable to go anywhere that is life-giving. And so Jesus comes along with this man who's been possessed by demons, and he breaks those chains for him. But Jesus doesn't come to break every tie. Because look at what the man is doing. The man is living in the tombs. Now, the tombs are a distance from the city, but he's still near the city. He's still tethered to them. Presumably, he probably has family in the area. Someone is most likely bringing food there so that he has something to eat. And so while he is chained to these demons, he is also still tethered somehow to his community. But he can't get to them because he is chained over here. So what happens? Jesus arrives. He gets out of the boat. And he comes up there, and legion, these demons, recognize him immediately. They've got nothing to say except, leave us alone. We know who you are, and we know that you can break these chains, and we don't want you to do that, because if you do that, then we got to figure out someone else in someplace else to go. You have the power to destroy us. They know Jesus. Now, the townspeople are just kind of looking on, going, who is this guy? But the demons know. And so they beg Jesus. They beg him. Please, please don't destroy us. He ends up actually granting their request, which to me seems like, why? You know, you might as well just smite them and get it over with. But he, for reasons, there are lots of reasons. We're not going to go into them today. If you want to talk to me about it afterwards, I'd be happy to. But he allows them to go into this herd of swine. Keep in mind, we're in a Gentile area. So they're raising pigs, which a Jewish person would never do. So he allows them to go into the herd of swine. They think everything's great. And then all the pigs go running off the cliff into this terrible big surf area, and they all get killed. They all get drowned anyway. Jesus destroyed those chains. That man had been chained from even being tethered to himself, much less his family. And now there was a chance to build something new. New ties, a new way of living. Our own demons can keep us chained from what we would like to be doing. They can keep us chained from being generous. They can keep us chained from being kind or compassionate. They can keep us chained from reaching out in love. They don't tether us there. They chain us away from those things. And Jesus comes into our lives. All of those demons which we can each name, we've all got them. Those demons are simply obliterated by the presence of Jesus Christ, God with us. We know that Jesus has the power to do it. And we know that we can participate as well because he is with us. And we can participate in our own healing. And then what is this man's reaction then? He goes off into the Decapolis. You'd think he'd go home, right? He doesn't. He goes to the Decapolis, which is simply a Gentile group of 10 cities that were closely linked economically. He goes there and he proclaims this miracle, what has happened to him. Can you imagine that message coming at you from someone who kept injuring himself? He was hurting himself. He was howling. He wasn't even able to be chained up or bound to keep from hurting himself or hurting others. He'd been living like a wild animal, and now he's out proclaiming this great news. He's not even Jewish. And someone came into his life, a Jew, came into his life and said, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to break the chains that are binding you, and I am going to reestablish the tethers to all those life-giving things that you once had. What an amazing thing. Now, we all know getting rid of demons is not a quick thing. Sometimes it is a lifetime process, and sometimes we don't succeed. But we have the hope because in this instance, Jesus proves he has the power to unbind that person. What have you to do with me, Jesus? What have you to do with us? I'm here to heal. I'm here to teach you. I'm here to be with you. Nothing less and nothing more. And nothing more is needed. So to go back to what we did on Wednesday, which was just a whole lot more fun than even a barrel of monkeys, honestly. To see these kids in boats, getting in and out of them, maneuvering them around, using them for positive things like fishing, getting from one place to another. And then they would tie up their boats and they would go out and about the work of the kingdom. This is what we are about today at our annual meeting, the work of the kingdom. But we are tethered to Jesus Christ, who is constantly and ever at the center of this congregation and at the center of each one of your lives. May your chains be broken. And may the tether to life-giving acts and attitudes be yours. Amen. We sing.